Talk and Tar Heel Station.
Standoff with the Paris terror suspects.
And it's a very chaotic scene here.
Same-sex marriage case.
Supreme Court considers whether to intervene.
President's plan for higher ed.
The first 2 years of community college, free.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan.
And I'm Vicki Barker in Paris with the CBS World News Roundup. French police have tracked down the two jihadist brothers sought in Wednesday's massacre of 12 people to an industrial complex northeast of Paris, not far from Charles de Gaulle Airport. The men are said to be holding at least one hostage and have reportedly told police they are prepared to die as martyrs. CBS News correspondent Clarissa Ward is at the scene.
The two men are believed to be holed up in a company that makes shop signs in that industrial complex in the village of Dammartin. And according to the Associated Press, quoting an unnamed French official, the French government is now in negotiations and in discussions with the two gunmen in that office. French radio interviewed one man who said that he actually bumped into one of the suspects in that industrial complex. He said that the suspect came and shook his hand and told him not to worry, apparently saying, we don't kill civilians. So clearly these gunmen do not consider journalists to be civilians.
Two runways at Charles de Gaulle have been closed. Local residents told to stay indoors and stay away from windows. And area hospitals have been put on high alert to prepare for any possible casualties. Here in Paris, French officials now say it appears yesterday's fatal shooting of a policewoman was connected to Wednesday's massacre, though brothers Saeed and Sharif Kouachi are not thought to be the perpetrators. CBS News correspondent Liz Palmer here in Paris has the story of one of the policemen gunned down on Wednesday.
Some imams actually came to lay flowers at the spot where the policeman was killed. It turns out that he was a Muslim himself, and a tweet that has gone viral says, "I am Ahmed the cop. Charlie Hebdo mocked my faith and my culture, and I died defending their right to do it."
The survivors of the massacre at French satirical weekly Charlie Hebdo say they will keep publishing. My colleague Elaine Cobb joins me here in Paris.
Staff at the weekly Charlie Hebdo are already back at work. They've moved to temporary offices at another major newspaper here in Paris and plan to publish 1 million copies next week. Today, Charlie Hebdo becomes an honorary citizen of Paris.
Again, the latest here in Paris. The two suspects in the massacre at French weekly Charlie Hebdo have been tracked down to an industrial complex northeast of the capital. They appear to be holding a hostage. Police and special forces are at the scene. Steve?
Vicki Barker in Paris, thanks. CBS's Bob Orr is working on the Yemen connection, but the two men at the center of the standoff in France and their possible ties to the leader of the al-Qaeda branch, Anwar al-Awlaki, who was killed in a U.S. strike in 2011.
The older brother, Saeed Kouachi, was in Yemen in 2011 at the same time that al-Awlaki was leading the external terror plotting for AQAP. But whether or not Saeed ever had personal dealings with al-Awlaki, he came back, I'm told, from Yemen with clear intent to do something in France.
There are late reports of a shootout, perhaps a hostage situation going on at a Paris grocery store with at least one person wounded. Here at home, sentencing is set for today in New York for the one-eyed Islamic cleric known as Abu Hamza. He was convicted of helping terrorists in Yemen and plotting to open a terror camp in Oregon. He faces a life sentence. It's the Friday Morning World News Roundup, and it's 4 minutes after the hour.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
This morning on WCHL, after more than four decades of public service and 25 years as Chapel Hill's fire chief, Dan Jones will be stepping down this spring.
I let the town manager know yesterday that I intend to retire in May.
Last night, the Chapel Hill Town Council discussed the fiscal impact of the proposed Obie Creek development on our town. And we're right in the heart of flu season. It's proving to be a particularly deadly version of the virus this year. These stories and more, plus your Chapel Hill cover of traffic and weather together. Speaking of the weather, a little better today than yesterday, certainly a little warmer. And not as much of a crisis as far as weather conditions are concerned. We'll tell you all about that. WCHL Championship Sports. The Carolina men's basketball team looks for a win this weekend over Louisville on Saturday afternoon inside the Smith Center. Carolina women lost last night. Men hope to get a win tomorrow. And
strictly by the numbers, Carolina should beat Louisville.
That's this morning in our Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
8:05, 20 degrees in Chapel Hill, a big improvement over yesterday. 11 degrees warmer than this time yesterday. And partly sunny today, not as cool. High today in the upper 30s. Also some strong winds later on in the day. We're not out of the woods yet as far as the cold is concerned. It will continue pretty much all weekend. Chance of rain developing on Sunday night, but not until then. Should be just rather nippy. After decades of public service, longtime Chapel Hill Fire Chief Dan Jones will be stepping down this spring. He's decided to retire. WCHL's Aaron Keck has more.
After 41 years in the fire service, 25 of it here in the town of Chapel Hill, my wife and I have decided that it's time to end my career in the uniform fire service, and I let the town manager know yesterday that I intend to retire in May.
He spent his entire life in public service, leading the Chapel Hill Fire Department through a long period of transition. When he took office in 1990, he says the Chapel Hill Fire Department didn't provide much more than fire service, but now it also provides emergency medical service, rescue service, and more.
We've come a long way, and the one thing that I have the most mixed emotions about is the people that I work here with are really, really good folks and very dedicated and very committed to the fire service and to the citizens they protect. And I'll miss the daily interaction with those folks.
Along the way, Chief Jones and his team faced a number of serious challenges, perhaps most notably a tragic fire in 1996 at the Phi Gamma Delta fraternity house, which killed five students but also led to significant policy changes for new developments that have made our community and others much safer.
We lost five students, Mark Strickland, Ben Woodruff, Josh Weaver, Ann Smith, and Joanna Howe. And that was a horrible tragedy, but a lot of good came out of that. Sprinkler systems and student housing, and not only here in Chapel Hill, but in other parts of the country. And I felt good about the fact that we were able to turn that tragedy into a lot of positive things.
Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt says Chief Jones will leave a tremendous legacy, not just with the fire department, but with Chapel Hill town government in general.
He's the longest-serving fire chief this city's ever had. He has seen us through some really tough, challenging times. His fingerprints are over a lot of things, not just the fire department, but just the management style of the rest of our organization. Not only his policies, but, you know, he got us through a recession whenever other cities were like losing firefighters or having to lay off firefighters. He was able to manage one of our town's largest departments through that difficult time, doing things that no other fire chief, not just in this town, but in this whole state, has ever done. And he's going to be hard to replace.
Kleinschmidt says Chief Jones will be missed, but he also says the chief's influence will be felt for years to come.
He really has trained up a generation of extraordinary servants that have come through our fire department and who will owe their careers to him. And he sure has taught me a lot as well.
Chief Jones says he won't be leaving town anytime soon. His family is all here and Chapel Hill is home. But he says there's one local community staple that he will miss.
You know, one of the things I'm going to miss the most when I retire is not listening to Ron Stutz every morning driving into work.
Chief Dan Jones is expected to step down on May 1st. Aaron Keck, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Chief, just when I was getting ready to say something nice about you. Chapel Hill Town Council met last night. WCHL's Jugmeet Mack was there and has the story.
On Thursday night, the Chapel Hill Town Council discussed the fiscal impact of the proposed Obie Creek development on the town. Chapel Hill Business Management Director Ken Penoyer estimated the mixed-use development would net between $600,000 and $1 million every year. This is the revenue, which comes from taxes and fees, minus the cost of extending town services like fire, police, and transit services. Town council members are looking into the impact of two different development scenarios to help the town strategically negotiate with the developer, East-West Partners. This wide range in the bottom line, $600,000 versus $1 million, comes from comparing a bigger development plan, the original scenario, with a smaller development plan, the minimum scenario. Here's Penoyer.
The original development plan called for 1.5 million square feet of development with residential being slightly more than half, retail, office, and also hotel included. The minimum scenario is slightly less than half of the square footage containing residential, retail, and office, but no hotel.
The development would also generate revenue for the county and the local school district. The town estimates the smaller development scenario would add 50 students to area schools, and the bigger development would add 130 students. Ben Perry, finance director of East-West Partners, said this minimum development scenario may not be financially feasible for his company.
I think what we're really looking at is something closer to the original analyses you received on the traffic and on the fiscal, starting at that $1.5, $1.6 million, working down from there.
The public is invited to comment on the Obie Creek negotiation process at the town council's 7 p.m. meeting on January 12th in the town hall council chamber. The council will hold special meetings with Victor Dover from the planning firm Dover, Cole & Partners on January 22nd at 7 p.m. and January 23rd at 4 p.m. Both meetings will be in the council chamber. Jagmeet Mack, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Hillsboro Planning Director Margaret Houth led an open house last night at the town barn to discuss the Vision 2030 project. The early stages of the project involved collecting data that is Hillsboro-centric.
The reason why the data collection is early on is if you don't know what the current situation is, you don't know whether you've made any progress. Until you know exactly where you are, you don't know where you want to go.
There are several lofty goals as part of the development project. Townwide wireless internet by 2025, increasing residential density without losing small-town charm, all while maintaining affordable housing options. But one item grabbed community members' attention last night, the construction of a train station to reestablish Amtrak service and be open to commuter rail. Houth says they are in line to get funding from the State Department of Transportation for construction in 2019.
What we are building is the station. We are building the platform and the building and access to the site so that the Amtrak trains can stop. Any other trains that are running on that line that choose to stop, we will welcome. But the funding that comes for the station structure is not tied to funding for a commuter rail system.
The town of Hillsboro already owns 20 acres off South Churton Street where the train station will be built. This is the second time Hillsboro officials have developed a long-term planning document, and they've seen major solutions come during this process.
1990, when we wrote the first Vision 2010 plan, we did not have a reservoir. The West Fork of the Eno did not exist. We were really looking at tight, tight water circumstances. We were at a point where we really couldn't tie on new water customers for any kind of large-scale development.
Houth says they'll have annual reports to update the board and residents with progress being made on the Vision 2030 project.
We do intend to annually, as part of the budget process, kind of give a report back to the board on how we're doing in the implementation of this, since this document is tied more closely to the budget, and the budget is tied very closely now to the town's strategy map and balanced scorecard.
The public hearing for the development plan is scheduled for next Thursday, January 15th. That's 6 days away. You can get more details on that hearing and look at the Vision 2030 draft on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. We're right here in the heart of flu season. It's proving to be a particularly deadly version of the virus this year. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more.
State health officials released the weekly numbers yesterday and reported 30 new flu deaths for the week ending January 3rd. That brings the total of flu-related deaths for the season to 54. Department of Health and Human Service officials say they began to see an increase in activity in mid-December, and with a season that typically lasts around 3 months, are expecting severe flu activity for several more weeks. Last year, there were 107 flu-related deaths reported across the Tar Heel State. WCHL's Blake Hodge will have an in-depth look at this year's flu season on WCHL's Weekend News with Jeff Hamlin. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
It is time again for Traffic and Weather Together, and this traffic report is brought to you by the Carolina Inn. Here's Nikki.
Thanks, Ron. Northbound Smith Level Road, you're going to find some congestion as you approach Culberth and Highway 54. Durham Freeway just crowded in spots both directions between downtown Durham and I-40. Speaking of 40, expect full lanes and segments from 15501 through 540. If you see anything while traveling, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Things moving along okay out there today?
Absolutely.
Luckily, we have not had any precipitation to complicate our traffic situation.
And the cold weather, yeah.
Yeah, really. Ooh. That's enough to deal with right there. the Chapel Hill landmark, the Carolina Inn. Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar, to be exact, is where you can save cuisine prepared with fresh local ingredients created by outstanding executive chef James Clark and his very talented culinary team. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant is a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you by the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce. It is 20 degrees, partly sunny, not as cool today, high today in the upper 30s. Some strong winds later on in the day, gust up to about 25 miles per hour. Tonight we're looking at clear skies, cold temperatures low down around 16. Tomorrow, sunny with a high in the middle 30s. Notice that I say low tonight, 16, and nobody even raises an eyebrow because it was so darn cold yesterday.
I'll take 16 after yesterday.
Sounds like an improvement. But the rest of the weekend looks like this. On Sunday, partly sunny with a high in the low 40s and a 50-50 chance of rain developing by Sunday night, but not until then. And the temperatures should not dip below freezing on Sunday night either. So, the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce invites you to celebrate the successes of our business community at the Chamber's annual meeting presented at the Europa Center Thursday, January 29th at 11 a.m. at the Sheraton Chapel Hill Hotel. It's a lunchtime meeting. Tickets are on sale now, $55 for members, $70 for non-members. Register online at carolinachamber.org/annual meeting.
Good morning from 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. You're waking up with Ron Stutz. And remember, we're your station for the Tar Heels.
WCHL News Time is 8:17. North Carolina high school students will have more leeway to earn better grades starting with the next academic year, which starts in August. The State Board of Education approved a plan on Thursday to convert the current 7-point grading scale into a 10-point scale. In other words, you can get an A for scoring between 90 and 100, a B between 80 and 89, a C between 70 and 79. The school board last summer approved the change for incoming high school freshmen this fall. Of course, it was a little different before. It used to be 90, 91, 92, you would get a B, but no more. Since then, local school district officials and parents complained that unless these rules apply to everybody attending high school, students in the same class doing the same quality of work could get different grades. This ought to level the playing field. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports. First of all, the Carolina women suffered a really tough loss last night at Pittsburgh. They had to go into the land of even colder weather. And Alicia Gray led North Carolina with 19 points and 14 rebounds. Stephanie Mavunga, reigning conference player of the week, got 12 points last night. But Pittsburgh took the lead 5 minutes into the game and never really looked back. It looked like at one point in the second half that Carolina might mount a comeback, but that was not to be. And the Tar Heels ended up losing 84-59. Panthers led 27-26 before ending the first half on a 13-4 run to build up quite a lot of momentum. And Pittsburgh is now 11-4 overall, 1-1 in the ACC. Tar Heels fall to 14-2, 1-1 in the ACC also. Number 18, North Carolina men, 11-4 on the season, 1-1 in ACC play, are looking to rebound from a loss to number 13 Notre Dame earlier in the week with a quality win over number 5 Louisville. And if they get it, it will definitely be a quality win. 14-1. 2-0, that's the mark for the Louisville Cardinals, coached by Rick Pitino, and it's going to be really, really tough. That happens Saturday afternoon. WCHL's Matt Oakes previews the contest.
UNC head coach Roy Williams doesn't get carried away with breaking down the stat sheet. He says the only thing that really matters is who's got more points at the end of 40 minutes. And last time out, that wasn't Carolina.
Well, we were into it a little bit more, but holding somebody to 43% is not really that good. Let's be honest kind of thing now. The only stat, you can look down there, guys, all you want, and you can dissect it, but the only stat that's important is 71-70. The rest of it's just junk, and you got to write it because that's your job. But 71-70 is the only thing that's important.
The Tar Heels will certainly be eager to wipe the sour taste of defeat out of their mouth and avoid a rare two-game slide at home. But the task won't be easy against the Cardinals. Carolina, though, may have found another game-changing weapon in its last outing, despite the losing outcome. Junior forward Bryce Johnson says assistant coach Hubert Davis has been calling for a difference maker to make the effort plays that will ignite the rest of the lineup.
That's just the one thing Coach Davis told him in the timeout. He said, we need one guy to just be able to step up and show everybody what it means to go out there and get a rebound for us, or be that guy to get a rebound on the other end. So.
Coach Davis's challenge may have been met by freshman Theo Pinson. Pinson was the spark plug off the bench, playing 12 second-half minutes and finishing with 7 points and a season-high 8 rebounds. All 7 of his points and all 8 rebounds came in the final 20 minutes of action as he rallied Carolina from an 11-point deficit to the doorstep of victory. Against Notre Dame, one of the most prolific shooting teams in the nation, Carolina struggled to knock down enough jumpers to stay in close for a majority of the game. But junior forward J.P. Tokoto says it's UNC's defense that needs to step up its level when the shots aren't falling.
And it was simply because we knocked down shots. It wasn't just layups, you know, guys hitting jump shots and all that. So sometimes the ball just doesn't fall. 10 assists on how many of our buckets it was. It's going to happen. You just got to... When that happens, you gotta adjust and get it on defensively.
Saturday's showdown pits a pair of Hall of Fame coaches against each other. Just like Coach Williams, Louisville coach Rick Pitino knows how to guide a team to a national championship, and Coach Pitino will like his squad's chances at making another deep postseason push again this year. And why shouldn't he? The only loss suffered by the tough-nosed Cardinals came to undefeated and top-ranked Kentucky. But Coach Pitino insists his team, who can be a bit offensively challenged at times, remains a work in progress.
We're going to have a lot of bumps in the road, I can tell you that right now. And you look at our record right now, and it's a good record, but we're going to have a lot of bumps, and that doesn't concern me because bumps are part of every season. We need to come March be a very good basketball team, and I think this... The good thing about this basketball team, it has a very high ceiling. It has a long ways to go.
Without a doubt, the most dominant player on the Cardinal roster is Montrezl Harrell, who remains a strong candidate for National Player of the Year. One of the most intriguing aspects of the game from a Tar Heel perspective will be how much playing time Pinson receives. Coach Williams says it's up to the freshman. If a guy's playing well, he'll stay on the floor.
It's pretty easy to tell because I kept him in the game. You know, it's a pretty easy sign right there. I thought... The three was, you know, he hadn't made many of them, but it was wide open, and JP made a nice pass to him and knocked it in, but the offensive rebound was really big for us, too. And so I've always said the easiest way to stay in the game is play well. And if you play well, you get more chances.
UNC leads the all-time series with Louisville 9-3 and won the last meeting 93-84 in 2013 to claim the Hall of Fame tip-off title. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHO.
Thanks, Matt. 822 WCHL. Chris Spatola is currently a college basketball analyst for CBS Sports Network and the Pac-12 Network, joining both outlets in 2012. In addition to his on-camera work, he appears regularly on SiriusXM Radio's Basketball and Beyond, which airs weekly. Chris goes all over the country covering not Carolina basketball, but covering college basketball. And Chris, I understand you're on the road this morning, and where are you and what's your weather like there?
Yeah, I'm in Buffalo. I had a game at I did Dayton St. Bonaventure last night for CBS Sports Network. So I'm up here in Buffalo, and it's a balmy 3 degrees outside. So, but I hear it's pretty cold down there too.
Yeah, it is. But we don't have any snow to deal with, and all of that business that you have in Buffalo about 365 days a year, I guess.
Yeah, there's a lot of it, man. I grew up in the Northeast, but of course now I live back down in North Carolina. So you lose, there's a rhythm to being able to drive in the snow. I've lost that over the years. I've had to try to get it back.
It's not like riding a bicycle, I guess.
No, it's not.
Well, listen, I know that you've watched Carolina play basketball. I know that you've seen this Louisville team, and Louisville, awfully impressive, ranked number 5 in the country. What's your assessment of tomorrow's matchup with the Tar Heels and the Cardinals?
Yeah, you know, I've had a chance to watch both of them quite a bit. And, you know, it's interesting with Carolina losing the first game, their opener there, you know, you wonder how they're going to come back. I think the first thing you look at in this game is motor, you know, what the motor is of each team. I always say when you play Louisville, the first thing you got to do is you have to match their energy. They're going to come out. They're going to press. They play really, really hard on the defensive end. Then they change their defenses down back. You know, they'll start in a zone, and then once the ball gets down towards the baseline, they'll shift into a zone. So you're going to have to be able to figure out and handle what they do defensively. But it's going to start with playing with a sense of urgency, and that's, you know, something at times Carolina has been a little bit moody in and out with that. It's going to start with matching, you know, that energy and that motor of Louisville.
Well, the Cardinals have been described as big boy basketball. Art Chansky, I believe, is the one who said that. And what does that mean to you when you talk about big boy basketball?
Well, that's the best, probably the best way to put it. Art knows exactly what he's talking about. I mean, it's what that means is, again, it starts with effort. I mean, they're going to, again, in their press, they're going to chuck you. They're going to knock you off your line. They're going to talk to you. It's all about that. And then when you get down to the other end, Carolina's done a great job offensive rebounding the basketball, but you better believe, I mean, obviously Montrezl Harrell's he's an absolute beast, but they've got some other good size. I mean, a kid named Anuaku, Mathiang, I mean, these guys are big guys. And that's just kind of how they play. You know, it permeates down from Rick Pitino, and, I think it's that energy, that effort, and then that physicality with which they play.
Chris, I know that you've seen, we're talking to Chris Spatola of CBS Sports Network, Pac-12 Network, Sirius XM Radios, Basketball and Beyond, and a lot more. Maybe we should start by telling people what you don't do. But, Chris, you've seen Kentucky play, I know. Is there? Let's talk about college basketball in general. Is there anybody out there who can beat Kentucky this season?
It's a great question. You know, I in the last minute of their game against Ole Miss, I would have said Ole Miss.
Yeah.
I think there is. Look, there hasn't been a team that's gone undefeated in college basketball for 38 years, and there's a reason for that. I mean, it's not easy to do. It's really, really hard. The last team that really had a chance, I think really probably could have gone undefeated, they end up losing in the Final Four, was UNLV in 1991. That team, the Wichita States and the St. Joe's, these teams that came into the tournament undefeated, I don't think they were necessarily for real. Look, I think Kentucky's going to lose. I think they're going to lose in conference. I mean, I think they could very, very easily lose to, at Florida. LSU's playing great. Arkansas could catch them. The thing about Kentucky is everything for them starts in the defensive end. And when you're a team that where it all starts on that end, your margin for error is a lot more. In other words, you could shoot 35% in a game if you're Kentucky, and you could still win because of how good you are defensively. If you're playing them, you can't be afraid. I think the big thing in that UCLA game, which was a debacle, it was UCLA basically was scared. I mean, that game was won in warm-ups. I think you look at what Ole Miss did, they kind of laid a blueprint, and it started with they just weren't afraid. They were a real confident basketball team playing against Kentucky.
Well, getting back to that Carolina blue and red that'll be in the arena tomorrow, you got a quick prediction for us for Carolina and Louisville?
I like Carolina tomorrow. I think their response off of the loss, I think they've had, Louisville played the other night. Carolina's had a little bit more preparation here. The big key is, I say they're going to win, some caveats. They're going to have to take care of the basketball. You cannot turn it over. Once you start doing that, it's a big part of Louisville's offense. And then they're going to have to be good on the offensive glass. They don't have to necessarily make shots. This whole thing about Carolina doesn't shoot from the outside. First of all, they defend teams from the 3-point line. So it's not like teams are knocking them down against them with the exception of Notre Dame. But they're going to have to get some stuff, generate some of that offense inside, in the interior. And if they can match that effort of Louisville, I like the Tar Heels. I think it's going to be a really good game.
Well, Chris, we appreciate your being with us this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Good.
It's always fun to talk to you, and we'll talk to you again throughout the season.
Look forward to it. Thanks.
828 WCHL, I'm Ron Stutz.
Art Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Strictly by the numbers, Carolina should beat Louisville. This is Art Chansky with Friday Sports Notebook. The fifth-ranked 14-1 Louisville Cardinals come to town Saturday, and if you look at the comparative statistics, the Tar Heels should win the game, pure and simple. Louisville is as big as Carolina, but unlike Notre Dame, doesn't shoot the ball that well from either the floor or the foul line. So it will be a mano-a-mano battle that the home team can definitely win. Even offensively challenged as they are, the Heels have better shooting stats from the floor, three-point arc, and surprisingly even the foul line. The Cardinals only have three players who shoot better than 50% from the floor, exactly what Carolina has. They are 210th in the country in field goal percentage and 220th in assists.
so they just go get the missed shots, just like the Tar Heels, who are 84th in field goal percentage, but 8th in assists. Carolina is a little better at all of that, averaging 45 rebounds a game to 42 for the Cardinals, and a rebounding margin of almost 11 compared to only plus 6 for the Vils. And look at it this way. The Vils barely escaped Clemson at home Wednesday night when the Tar Heels blew out the Tigers in Death Valley last week. So to me, that says Carolina can be tougher when it wants to be. This will be Rick Pitino's first visit to Chapel Hill as a member of the ACC. And he brings one of the best players in the country in big Montrezl Harrell, who averages 16 points and more than 9 rebounds a game and is a projected first-team All-American. But those numbers don't compare to the 24 points and 16 rebounds averaged by Kennedy Meeks and Bryce Johnson, who I imagine will spend quite a bit of time doubling Harrell in the post. This won't look anything like the Notre Dame game, a chess match of different lineups that the Fighting Irish won. This is big boy basketball, and Carolina will need all of its muscle and might underneath and pressure on the perimeter to make Louisville an even worse shooting team than it is. And with 4 days rest compared to the Cardinals, too, and the home crowd that should be rocking for the 2 p.m. tip-off, this is an eminently winnable game for Carolina. The matchup last year up in Connecticut went to the Tar Heels, especially playing at home. This one will, too. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
WCHL Championship Sports has been brought to you by Fitz Lumber and Hardware in Carborough.
Listen up, Carolina fans. Go for the slam dunk this season into Fitz Lumber and Hardware. Don't foul out attempting the never-ending home projects. Whether you're an experienced contractor or a novice do-it-yourselfer, get the jobs done right the first time with the guidance of our knowledgeable staff with decades of experience passed down from generation to generation. Get the local home court advantage at Fitz Lumber and Hardware, 309 North Greensboro Street in Carborough. Call us at 919-942-3153 or online at fitzlumber.com. Go Heels.
Ready to take your small business to the next level? You are not alone. We are here to help. At the UPS Store, we will turn your busy work into easy work by providing a variety of printing services, including business cards, banners, manuals, brochures, presentations, and more. You can also submit your request online at theupsstore.com/printing. To learn more about how we can help you, visit theupsstore.com or stop by the UPS stores on Fordham Boulevard in Meadowmont and in Chapel Hill North.
The UPS Store, where we have fun taking exceptional care of our customers.
The job market can be tough. It's time to show the business world that you're tougher. Durham Tech can help you build your resume with skills designed for the global economy. You'll learn what works in areas from healthcare, computer science, and foreign languages to biotechnology, construction, and real estate. Classes are taught throughout Durham and Orange counties, many in the evenings and on weekends. Visit durhamtech.edu to learn more and get ready to do great things.
This is Jeff Rubish. Did you know that filing frequent claims on your homeowner's insurance can have severe consequences? Frequent claims could lead to increased premiums and cancellation of your homeowner's insurance. Your home is a long-term investment, so consider higher deductibles and paying for minor damages out of your own pocket. Protecting your home against catastrophic loss is essential and can lower your premiums for the life of your home ownership. Call my office at 913-1144 to schedule a complete review of your insurance. This is Jeff Rubish. Did you know?
Yes, it is cold again today, and this forecast is brought to you by the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce. It is 21 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. Partly sunny, not as cool. High today in the upper 30s. Some strong winds later on in the day. Gust up to 25 miles per hour or so. Tonight, mostly clear and cold with a low down to 16. And look ahead a little bit. Saturday, sunny. High in the middle 30s. Saturday night, clear, cold, low 18. Sunday, partly sunny, a little bit better with a high in the low 40s. Unfortunately, we'll have a 50-50 chance of rain coming on Sunday night, but temperatures are not supposed to drop below freezing, so shouldn't have any problems there. The Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce invites you to celebrate the successes of our local business community at the Chamber's annual meeting presented at the Europa Center Thursday, January 29th, 11 a.m. at the Sheraton Chapel Hill Hotel. Tickets are on sale now, $55 for members, $70 for non-members. Register online at carolinachamber.org/annual meeting. Did you know that the Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar is one of only 3 Forbes 4-star rated restaurants in all of North Carolina? Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine.
97.9 FM, WCHL, is Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. And streaming live 24-7 at chapelborough.com. There's an app for that.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
WCHL News, Talk, and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
835 WCHL, I'm Rod Stutz. We've reached the end of 2014, and as the new year begins, we're taking the time to look back on the year that was. This week, as part of our annual WCHL Year in Review, we're continuing our countdown of the top 10 news stories and the top 10 newsmakers of 2014 in our local community. And today, we reach number one. No surprise, our number one news story of the year is the Weinstein Report. It turned out to be an event eagerly anticipated all year long. When it finally came, it brought revelation after revelation that stunned a campus community that thought it had heard it all.
There are a lot of people on campus who knew that these were easy classes, but it was a smaller, much smaller group who knew that there really wasn't even a professor involved and that Deborah Crowder was doing the grading. We found that five of the ASPSA counselors knew exactly what was going on with these classes. And Debbie Crowder took steps to try to mask what she was doing, but five of these counselors knew exactly what was going on.
I'd like to say this from the start. I am deeply disappointed in the duration and the extent of the wrongdoing.
And they took affirmative steps to take advantage of them. They steered a number of their student-athletes to these classes because, specifically because they were easy, specifically because they were, in their terms, GPA boosters.
As well as the lack of oversight, specifically vital missing checks and balances.
Some of the counselors at ASPSA actually would suggest to Deborah Crowder what grades she should give to the student-athletes who were in her class. And in terms of women's basketball, there was a counselor there, Jan Boxall, who knew completely what these classes were all about and steered students to them, basketball players to them.
The Crowder-Nangoro scheme marks a horrible chapter in the history of this great university. And we would all agree that it continued unchecked for way too long.
131 pages, 18 years of fraudulent classes, 3,100 students, 1,500 student-athletes, 9 UNC employees facing discipline or dismissal, countless more questions from the NCAA, and incalculable damage to UNC's reputation that we must now begin to recover. Kenneth Weinstein's report on academic irregularities on campus is easily our number one news story of the year. Our number one newsmaker of the year tops our list for the firestorm she started in January when she went on national television to blow the whistle on UNC.
I had athletes tell me their hopes and dreams, but I couldn't do anything about that. They were African American studies majors and they took bogus paper classes. That's criminal.
The scandal at Carolina was already more than 3 years old when an academic advisor named Mary Willingham appeared on CNN with a set of shocking statistics. Willingham said she checked out the reading levels of 183 UNC football and basketball players over an eight-year period and found that most of them read at an eighth grade level or lower.
We had a countless number of athletes that I worked with during my tenure, nearly 7 years, that left without a real degree. You know, they took all these bogus paper classes, and they left the university still woefully underprepared for probably even a high school. That's wrong, and we owe them.
What followed was a highly contentious and occasionally nasty debate as UNC officials denounced Willingham and the university's critics hailed her as a hero. Everybody had an opinion about Mary Willingham.
I think these numbers are wildly incompatible with that claim. I don't know how that claim was arrived at, but I think the data that we have about students upon admission don't support the claim.
Their response should have been all along to try to arrange a conversation with her. Instead, they orchestrate a denunciation campaign, and it's continuing.
The question, did she violate FERPA? I mean, it appears that she accessed student records without consent. That's one of the most troubling aspects of what the research application reveals.
Her character was assassinated. Her academic integrity was impugned. I think UNC and the community owes a big thank you to Mary.
By the middle of the year, Mary Willingham had been accused of violating federal law and plagiarizing her research, and she'd lost her job at UNC. But she'd also gotten people talking about a new facet of Carolina's academic scandal. And in the process, she became the focal point of the increasingly intense debate for the better part of 2014.
I'm hearing from people all over the country. They don't want to speak publicly, and I'm certainly not going to bring anybody under the bus with me because it's, you know, not too pretty under here. But I think you're going to hear from more people. We've got a movement going, folks.
Mary Willingham, our number one newsmaker of the year. For our complete countdown of the top news stories and newsmakers of 2014, visit our website, chapelboro.com. We started at the beginning of the week and built all the way up to the end here. And I have to say, great job by Aaron Keck and everybody else in the WCHL News Department putting all this together, our review, the annual WCHL Year in Review. I invite you, if you missed any of these reports, go to our website, chapelboro.com. You can get them all there. Not only the top 10 news stories of the year, but the top 10 newsmakers of the year. And again, kudos to the news department for that. It's 840 at WCHL. UNC Professor Lou Margolis is on the way, and also a special guest in the studio this morning. And we will talk with Mary Lawrence coming up about a very special event in just a few minutes.
You've built our future. Hi, this is Barbara Jessie Black, Executive Director of PTA Thrift Shop. As we celebrate our one-year anniversary of our newly redeveloped Carborough location, we are humbled and so appreciative of the support we continue to receive and are looking forward to serving our community and schools for many more years to come. Your patronage allows us to continue our mission of supporting the Chapel Hill Carborough City School PTAs. Thank you for continuing to build our future.
As the Kennedy Dental Group celebrates its first anniversary at 1721 East Franklin Street, the practice continues on the cutting edge of family dentistry while emphasizing the utmost in customer care. Dr. Jeff Kennedy offers stress-free oral sedation dentistry, which takes away all the anxiety of a prolonged procedure. Kennedy Dental Group is open Friday and offers early appointments from 7 a.m. on Tuesday and Friday. And if using insurance, Kennedy Dental can save you the hassle and files all claims for their patients. Call for an appointment at 919-967-9291 or go to KennedyDentalGroup.com.
I'm David Fitch of Fitch Lumber and Hardware. Just like on the basketball court, teamwork is what you need to take on any home project. Stop by and team up with Fitch Lumber and Hardware to score big on your upcoming goals. We can help. Get the local home court advantage at Fitch Lumber and Hardware, 309 North Greensboro Street in Carborough, or call us at 919-942-3153. And as always, thanks for your business and continuing to make Fitch Lumber and Hardware a family tradition.
As bright fall days slide into frosty winter nights, the good cooking at Glass Half Full Restaurant and Wine Bar will warm your soul. How about a bowl of savory lentil soup to chase the chill? Freshly rolled beet pasta makes splendid lasagna. Does duck confit or braised lamb shank with root vegetables pair nicely with a glass of assertive red wine? Cold weather makes me hungry. Come to Glass Half Full in downtown Carborough for lunch or dinner and see what's cooking now.
There are many reasons people sell gold and silver to Jewel Recycle in University Mall. Inheritance of unwanted jewelry and flatware, gifts from the ex, downsizing, or just for a little extra cash. But did you know the manufacturer of an average gold ring creates more than 20 tons of mining waste? Selling unused jewelry is the green thing to do. Jewel Recycle in University Mall is the Triangle's top gold buyer. Visit them for a no-obligation, generous offer. Also on the web at jewelrecycle.com.
This is Dr. Adam Goldstein with Your Health Radio and the University of North Carolina Department of Family Medicine. Do you worry about getting the care you need because you don't have health insurance? Do you have a pre-existing condition or think you can't afford it? The Affordable Care Act provides individuals who qualify with financial assistance for purchasing health insurance. Open enrollment is now through February 15th, so check out your options on www.healthcare.gov or call 919-545-3440.
Hello, this is Tony Hall, real estate broker at Tony Hall & Associates. With the busy spring market just around the corner, it's time to think about getting your house ready for sale and selecting a realtor to sell it. Let my 29 years of home selling experience benefit you. Call today at 919-933-8500 or see us online at TonyHallAssociates.com. At Tony Hall & Associates, we don't just list houses, we sell them.
All right, time now for traffic and weather together on WCHL. And this traffic report is brought to you this morning by Cruisers. One more time, here's Nikki Morse.
Thanks, Ron. 15501, still a bit congested in both directions between 40 and Franklin Street. 40 eastbound, though, if you're heading out towards RTP or the airport. Looks pretty good. No problems, just busy traffic from 15501 through 540. If you see anything while traveling, you can be a WCHL road warrior. Give us a call at 967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
Well, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And appreciate all the hard work you've been doing all morning long.
Nope. No problem at all. I love it.
I know that it is an absolute joy for you. And we'll be listening for your news updates throughout the day on at the bottom of the hour.
Stop cracking yourself up over there, Ron.
Another day in paradise.
Yeah.
The inimitable Nikki Morse. And this traffic has been brought to you again by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. And let me tell you about Cruisers. Cruisers. You can fuel up every morning with Cruisers Fresh Brewed Beans Cafe Coffee, cappuccino, and hot chocolate. Make it your way every day. Guaranteed to taste great. Cruisers, good to go. Now, turning to your Chapel Hill Carborough weather, brought to you this morning by Glass Half Full. It is, right now, 21 degrees in Chapel Hill. That's 12 degrees warmer than it was at this time yesterday. Say hallelujah. Partly sunny, not as cool today. High today in the upper 30s. Some strong winds later on in the day. Gust up to 25 miles per hour. Tonight we're looking at mostly clear skies and cold with a low down to 16. So this cold weather is definitely not over. It'll continue through the weekend. On Saturday, sunny with a high in the middle 30s. Saturday night we'll get down to 18. Sunday, not bad. Partly sunny with a high in the low 40s. However, a 50-50 chance of rain developing on Sunday night. But the temperatures will not be dropping below freezing on Sunday, so should not cause any problem. 845 at WCHL.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager, Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill.
You're going to hear from Gerald coming up in just a few minutes here on WCHL. But right now, we have Mary Lawrence standing by. And before that, we have today's opinion piece.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Lou Margolis. The failure of UNC to forfeit the games played by those who maintained eligibility through taking fake classes is yet another piece of evidence in the overpowering case that big-time revenue sports harm universities. The motto of UNC, Lux Libertas, Light and Liberty, boldly proclaims the core value of honesty and integrity. Without honesty, the entire knowledge-producing architecture of universities collapses in a heap. Without honesty, the unwavering commitment to excellence expressed in UNC's mission statement is meaningless. Let's be clear about the extent of the problem reported by Weinstein. Football players were credited with nearly 1,000 fake classes, and men's basketball players over 200 fake classes. The report estimated that the fraudulent grades awarded for these fake classes had a significant impact on eligibility. For example, the fake classes enabled football players and men's basketball players to have the necessary 2.0 grade point average in 25% and 14% of the reviewed semesters, respectively. The rules of college sports require athletes to be legitimate students. Unlike so many other aspects of life, in sports, the rules are explicit and the outcomes are clear. There are victories and there are defeats. UNC violated explicit rules on eligibility, indeed, the fundamental characteristic of college sports, that they are played by students. If these games were played by ineligible athletes, then any wins must become losses, no different than if the teams had not shown up to play. Two aspects of the failure to act are symptoms of the harm caused by big-time sports. First, let's remember that we are talking about games, hard-fought and involving players who practice long and hard to develop their skills, to be sure, but games nonetheless. Nobody will die, nobody will sustain lifelong injury or harm, the world will not end if UNC takes the courageous path of honesty by forfeiting these games. UNC is harmed, however, by failing to act with integrity. Second, failure to act with honesty is not tolerated in UNC's core mission of research, scholarship, and creativity. The contests fought on the playing fields of scholarship and research are single-minded in their commitment to finding the truth. Scholarship that is identified as fraudulent is openly refuted and often withdrawn. Researchers publicly shamed. If big-time sports are situated in universities, why should sports be handled differently, judged by different values? UNC, recognize those victories for what they were, dishonestly earned. Highlight the university's integrity by forfeiting those games, and then take pleasure in the real triumph of holding true to the core value of honesty. This is Lou Margolis.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Good morning, it is 8:48. Well, it would help to turn my microphone on.
It is 8:48 at WCHL. One of these days, this feels like Monday around here. It's just been incredibly busy. A lot of things going on, but we always make time for Mary Lawrence when she comes around from the Cornucopia Cancer Support Center. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, last year when I came, it was that really bad cold snap, too.
Was it?
Well, yeah.
Well, that's your fault.
Maybe. Maybe we need to do this some other day. I don't know.
Maybe you can come in the summertime or something, and we wouldn't have these problems. But seriously, Mary is here to talk about the 15th annual A Chocolate Affair, and this is a big fundraiser. Tell us what happens with
it. It's our biggest fundraiser of the year, Ron, and it provides needed revenue for Cornucopia so that we can continue to support anyone journeying with any type of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's being held Sunday, February 8th at the Sheraton in Chapel Hill this year. That's where we held it last year. It was a great venue, and we're really excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're grateful also to WCHL and Chapelboro for being one of our major sponsors. So thank you.
Absolutely. And let me ask you, for the folks who don't know, Cornucopia Cancer Support Center, what is it and what does it do?
Well, we're in our 20th year this year, and we have been providing information, resources, and physical, emotional, and spiritual support to individuals and families who are journeying with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And we accomplish that through a variety of programs and services, such as movement classes, oncology massage, individual and group support. We have some community partners that enable us to extend our services even more. For example, we offer acupuncture services thanks to Triangle Acupuncture.
Wonderful.
All of our services are provided free of charge to cancer patients, survivors, their family members, and their caregivers.
Mary, I know that from having talked to you before, this whole cause, the whole reason for the Cornucopia Cancer Support Center to exist means a lot to you because, just like almost everybody out there, you have been touched directly or indirectly with cancer.
Yes, yes. I've had my father passed away from cancer. One of my sisters is a cancer survivor. And, you know, it's one of those things, Ron, where cancer treatment can be so debilitating, and it can compromise your quality of life so much. And what Cornucopia provides is support for that journey. We're a non-clinical environment, and really what we're concerned about is helping people live life to the fullest despite what they're going through with their diagnosis and their treatment. And we give them the tools, the resources, the compassion and love and support they need just to get through it.
Yeah. Really tough. Sometimes the treatment can be worse than the illness itself, it
Absolutely.
Seems.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mary, let's end this on a very positive note. I know that A Chocolate Affair is a really, really fun event.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's a big deal. You got 400 people or something to come to this thing.
Yeah.
One more time, tell everybody what's happening and how they can find out more.
Okay. Well, they can go to our website, Cancer Support For You, and that's the number 4 and the letter U.org, cancersupportforyou.org, to register. But what it is, it's from 2 to 5 on Sunday afternoon.
And that date is?
Sunday, February 8th.
Okay.
We have over 30 area restaurants that provide all types of chocolate desserts. It's a chocolate extravaganza. But we also have healthy food and savories from different restaurants. We're doing two auctions, a live auction and silent auction. We have raffles. It's a lot of fun. And the day before this year, we're having a pre-event, and it's the Chocolate 5K.
Wow.
And that's going to be held at Duke University. People are meeting at the East Lawn Gazebo.
Fantastic. Well, another benefit to attending this event is the fact that you get a chance to talk to Mary Lawrence if you don't know her already. So, hey, thank you for coming in.
You are so welcome, and thank you for all of your support. We appreciate it.
It's always
good to see you, Ron.
It's always great to see you, too. You took the words right out of my mouth, not to mention the chocolate. It's 8:54 at WCHL. Good morning.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. We're committed to found drink perfection. That's why we make ours with 100% filtered water and serve them at an ice-cold 34 degrees over our famous Chewy Ice. They're only 79 cents every day, great taste at a great price. We're so sure you'll like the taste that we guarantee it. The next time you fill up at one of our 24 Cruisers locations, come inside and enjoy the perfect fountain drink made just the way you like it.
79-cent fountain drinks with Chewy Ice, only at Cruisers. Good to go.
For the best burgers and fries in town and where kids eat free on Sundays, head to Buns in Chapel Hill. Right in the heart of downtown, on Columbia Street between Franklin and Rosemary, Buns sells amazing burgers every day for a taste and a price the whole family will love. And remember, on Sundays, you can purchase one adult combo and receive one free kids meal. So when you're craving burgers, take the family to Buns. It's burger perfection.
This is Dr. Adam Goldstein with Your Health Radio and the University of North Carolina Department of Family Medicine. Do you need help to understand health insurance on the marketplace? Join us at a free event on Saturday, January 17th, 10 o'clock to 3 p.m. at the University of North Carolina Family Medicine Center, 590 Manning Drive in Chapel Hill, where you can discuss your questions with a counselor. Call 919-545-3440 for details. The number again is 919-545-3440.
For years, the brokers at Weaver Street Realty were known as the Muddy Boots Land Team. They still call themselves that. They can read surveys. They know septics. They know wells. Whether it's an in-town lot or a 100-acre tract, they will put on their muddy boots and walk land with you through an unmatched level of expertise and service. The Weaver Street Team has earned customers for life through repeat business and referrals. They listen with compassion and act with confidence. Stop by on Main Street in Carrboro or check them out at WeaverStreetRealty.com.
This is Jeff Rubish. Did you know that filing frequent claims on your homeowner's insurance can have severe consequences? Frequent claims could lead to increased premiums and cancellation of your homeowner's insurance. Your home is a long-term investment, so consider higher deductibles and paying for minor damages out of your own pocket. Protecting your home against catastrophic loss is essential and can lower your premiums for the life of your home ownership. Call my office at 913-1144 to schedule a complete review of your insurance. This is Jeff Rubish. Did you know?
Hey, listen, do you remember Wayne Pond's word of the day? What is the word? How do you spell it? What's the definition? 919-929-WCHL is your number to call if you know the answer. It's brought to you by Franklin Street Realty, and I'll give you a $10 gift certificate to Cruisers if you're our first correct caller.
Chapel Hill, the southern part of heaven. Our town has so many wonderful reasons to love living here, and one of my favorites is right down the little hill on Rosemary Street, Bretman's Restaurant. Bretman's is a Chapel Hill tradition that always has something for everyone. Where else can you get breakfast, lunch, or dinner any time of day? From Belgian waffles to the best burgers in town, or catering for your next event, Bretman's Restaurant is sure to please. Bretman's Restaurant, since 1974, a Chapel Hill tradition.
Where can kids like me go to learn new skills, make friends, and have fun?
Chapel Hill Gymnastics, the community's largest gymnastics facility offering tumbling, trampoline, summer camps, birthday parties, gymnastics classes for boys and girls ages 1 year and up, and more. The structured classes and energetic atmosphere motivate gymnasts to achieve personal goals in the sport of gymnastics. Call 919-942-3655 or visit chapelhillgymnastics.com.
Chapel Hill Gymnastics, the fun place to learn and grow.
Hey, congratulations to Dexter Louie of Chapel Hill, called in with the word of the day. It is bisextil, not what you think. Bisextil, B-I-S-S-E-X-T-I-L-E. It means something pertaining to leap year. And Dexter Louie gets a $10 gift certificate to Cruisers. Thank you so much for all the phone callers. I was not able to answer all those calls, but all our lines were ringing. We'll have another word for you bright and early on Monday morning, right here on WCHL.
Well, on the
shot clock.
Like most people in Chapel Hill, I love Spanky's. Sure, I love the historic setting, especially during the excitement of game days and the cool caricatures. But the thing that keeps me coming back time and again is the Spanky's Burger. When I start thinking about dinner at my desk at 2 p.m., I think about prime beef, ground fresh daily by Cliff's Meat Market in Carrboro.
It's the favorites that keep people coming back to Spanky's. Simple, fresh, and reliable. What's your favorite? Visit SpankysRestaurant.com for menus and reservations.
What do you do with a bag of jewelry that you've inherited and you have no idea what's real, what's not, what's valuable, what's not valuable? This is Berkeley Grimble of Grimble Jewelers, and at least once a week we help someone with just this problem. So we have started a service we're calling Heirloom Solutions. At no charge, we will help you go through your old or inherited jewelry and determine what is valuable and advise you as to the best way to maximize the return if you choose to sell it. If you choose to redesign any gems into a piece more suitable to your taste, our master goldsmiths and designers can help you turn the old and boring into the new and exciting. And our graduate gemologists can do appraisals on pieces you want to keep. So if you have a bag or a safety deposit box full of jewelry, bring it in. You never know what you might have. It will cost you nothing and could benefit you greatly. One client thought his mom's jewelry was all costume and ended up with $150,000 because it was all, in fact, real. That's Heirloom Solutions offered by Grimble Jewelers.
It's 9 o'clock, WCHL, Chapel Hill.